For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Happy holidays, everyone. It's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to announce that Inside the 18 and the Union GK community will be at the United Soccer Coaches Convention this January in Anaheim, California. So come on out, meet us and some of the Union Pro mentors while experiencing a live demo of the interactive Union app. So use promo code GKPOD24 for a special rate just for Goalkeeper Podcast listeners. Thanks for making the Union possible. And on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, once more from Richmond Goalkeeping Academy with the very last bit of voice that I have left after 4 days at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. It's been very successful here. And one of the reasons why it's been so successful here is because of people like this who haven't slept just like me in the last 4 days. I think all of us together have probably gotten 6 hours of sleep at the most. Guys, obviously, we're talking about people who are not only Richmond Goalkeeping Academy staff, but they actually came through the program themselves. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves to the hundreds of thousands of people that are watching right now on this Mevo camera that looks like I stole it. Go ahead, Ev.
I can go first.
Okay.
I'm Evan. I've been with like RGA for 6 years, I think, and I'm a part of the leadership team.
Love it.
I'm Ryan. Been with RGA for 8 years, one of the longest goalkeepers that have been in the academy. Coach now. Used to be part of the leadership team. Yeah.
Nice.
My name is Trevor. Unlike the rest of them, I drive 2 hours to practice up here in Richmond. But I've been with RGA for about 6 years. And now I'm coaching with RGA after I just graduated last year.
By the way, I'm glad the fact that both Trevor and I talked, because I was really concerned people thought we were just sleeping because we both got the sunglasses on like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff. Unlike the others, I had the pleasure of being coached by Amanda at my college at Longwood University. And then I reached out to her to follow through with her RGA coaching internship over the summer. I graduated from that, and now I am helping coach the goalkeepers at Longwood.
So I want to talk a little bit about that, because a lot of you guys are now coaching, and that transition from academy member to become a coach is such an interesting transition. So, like, obviously, Ryan, you're coaching, you know, quite a bit now. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one main advantage with that is that you really know the culture. And outside of just technical aspects of coaching, you know what you want the kids to, like, you know, the attitude that you expect from the kids, you know how you expect them to behave. And that's just a huge part of just being able to get stuff done around here. Like building that culture and building a winning culture where you're all here to build each other up. You're not tearing each other down. It's also huge, and you learn a lot more.
Yeah. And guys, feel free to step in anytime. Like, you don't have to wait for me to ask a question or anything like that. Like, if there's something that like pops in your head, you're like to add on to that or like whatever you want. But Jeff, obviously, you know, you have the experience of now, like, you know, you're coached by Amanda, and now you're coaching at the same school where Amanda used to coach you. That's an interesting animal in itself.
It's really nice. With Amanda being at Longwood, we were able to see the type of culture and how she wanted to hold us accountable and all of our teammates. It wasn't just the goalkeeper union, but how can we use what she taught us and use for the rest of the team? And it was interesting going from a teammate to a coach with even your own friends within my program. Everybody is very positive about it. It was interesting, to say the least, but they keeping the same culture. I knew what everybody needed to be done. Everybody had the same idea, and we've strived so far.
So, you know, speaking of that, like, Trevor, you've been very, very involved, you know, in putting together this entire, you know, clinic, the Keeper Wars, everything like that this week. Is that sometimes a little bit difficult because you're like, I'm still looking at these people as like my elders, but now they're actually my peers because I'm working with them together?
Sort of not. I mean, I still see Coach Amanda as my coach. I train with her when I can. Same with Jeff and even Ryan. But they've become more of friends now than they have coaches, but they still have that same respect that they will always have for me.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's really cool about like the whole leadership program experience is a lot of people go like, oh, that's really great for people. They want to play college and they want to be pros and all that stuff. But like, Ev, you decided that this is not the journey that you wanted to continue on in regards to from a playing career standpoint or a coaching career standpoint, but yet you're still here. Like, why is that?
Yeah, I just like love seeing the kids just like grow up and like learn leadership. So like, just like me, like I never seen myself playing in college. So like my time as a goalkeeper is like basically done, but like everything I learned in the academy is still like relevant in my life. Like I'll do like group projects in college where I'll have to be like a leader. Like I have to step up. And like, I didn't learn that from like nobody. Like that came from RGA and like being on the leadership team. So like being a goalie is like temporary, but like the lessons like you'll learn like to get on the leadership team will be like forever.
I feel like, you know, Ryan, obviously, you know, you're coaching a lot. Like, I feel like that's really difficult to stress to young players because like they're so myopic in their viewpoint. Like they're just looking at it from like me playing right now and starting this weekend. Like it's all I care about right now. But like we need to find as coaches, we need to find a way through to like organically without them knowing it, teach them these life skills.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's really important. That's the main reason similar journey to Evan. I had an idea of playing college soccer. I didn't really want to step through with it just for many reasons, but I still learned so many important lessons about myself, about how I should behave, how I should lead, how I should get things done. And that's something that is like, it has to come organically. Like you can't just tell someone to go do something. You have to kind of lead them to it. You have to let them find their own conclusions and finding these life skills. And that's why goalkeeping is for me just so important.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's interesting that you said that because like, I mean, like not to put Jeff on the spot here or myself on the spot here or any of the vertically challenged goalkeepers in the world out there. But like, if we don't take a leadership position, we're not respected immediately by not only our team, but the other team.
Exactly. I know growing up, I had even my own coach. I mean, with my coaches, there have been very, very strict and very honest. I had my coach tell me when I was in my youth that you're not going to play D1 with your height, or you're not going to just play in general if you go Division 1. And I kind of had to accept that. I knew that going into Longwood, it was going to be a big fight for me to get playing time. And I didn't get much of competition playing time until my senior year. But going through that process, I realized how much I needed to put forth.
That's because like with the beard now and the shaved head, they thought you were like 30. So they're like, dude, we have like a man on the team right here. I think this guy should just play against children.
My bad. I didn't mean to go so hard on playing in goalkeeper wars. But I know going through my development, it was definitely a strong focus of mine to have a presence, even with my youth, though I struggled with height and reaching to the top corners. But I had my presence. I was able to direct and organize and kind of stand out, be the loudest, but also the most helpful with my back line or forwards.
Yeah. You know, Trev, I want to talk about this. You know, obviously, you know, you spent some time, you know, in a reserve position, you know, in school. And, you know, that's a difficult thing because you're like, how can I still be a leader? How can I still be a positive role model for the team, even though I'm not being looked at as somebody who's an immediate impact on the team from a playing standpoint? So how do you do that?
My biggest thing is that I just try to encourage my teammates as much as I can. Like, it's important to accept that role and know what my role is so I can push the team further and further along as we go through the season, possibly break into it and help the team whenever it's needed.
I mean, like, you know, I think that's one of the real difficult things, Ryan, like when you're coaching is like when you see a goalkeeper and you're like, ah, they're just not the right profile for what I need to play right now, but they have a lot of other intangibles that are going to be great for my team. How do I help them understand that this is not a slight against them?
Yeah. I think that's a really big factor when you're the number 2, you're the number 3. It's like, okay, where can I live in my strengths? Where can I work on my weaknesses? But where can I emphasize that, like, okay, maybe my current role in the team, maybe I'm really good with my feet, but we're a more set piece focusing team. I want the goalkeepers, say, if I'm shorter, I want my goalkeeper coming out cleaning crosses. Well, I'm not going to be good at that. But I can play with my feet good. So it's like, okay, how do I adapt to a system that doesn't really suit me? How do I not take it personally as well? That's another thing we really learn here. It's like, there's times where it's not your fault and you just got to kind of live with that and grow with it and be able to accept it.
That, dude, that's the hardest thing. Like, I mean, like, you know, Ev, you know, I mean, you've gone through this whole program and everything like that. It's like, it's really hard sometimes for you to like understand that, like, because I was talking about this with the younger leadership people earlier, is that like I go through the dance after I get scored on, where like I start like moving, like I'm like, you know, when the ball's up the field, I'm like, I should have stepped this way and stepped that way or whatever. And that's just unhealthy, like from a mental health standpoint, because now I'm not invested in what's actually going on right now, you know? And like, so like, how do you help these goalkeepers like recognize that, like, hey, it's going to happen. You're going to get scored on, especially in an academy environment where there's going to be shots after shots after shots after shots. Doesn't mean you're bad.
Yeah, I would just, like, I'll just tell them, like, the job isn't to be perfect. It's just to get 1% better every day. So, like, we had a clinic yesterday, and after the clinic, like, I was looking at the bottom group five, and I was just, like, they all seemed super bummed after the camp. I'm like, guys, like, what'd you learn today? And each of them, like, named, like, one thing, and I was just like, you got 1% better at that. Like, the point of this camp or this clinic isn't to get perfect. There's no point in getting perfect at anything, because even like the pros, like, they'll let in a goal, like that means they're not perfect. So there's no point in like trying to like get yourself at this like unreachable that like they're trying to get to, which is like a crazy standpoint. So I'm just like trying to tell them that you got 1% better. That means you're getting better than most people. Like, I bet there's like some keepers on the couch right now that are like not doing anything, just like not training. They're just like on the couch.
Yeah.
So I'm just like trying to like tell them, like, you're out here getting better. So that's like all you really need to know.
Yeah. Do you want to add something? Yeah. Look at that. Stepping in without a question. Love it.
One big like analogy that I was really focusing on was like, how are you going to drive when you're just looking in the rearview mirror? You can't think about the last thing that happened. You're going to crash if you're just looking in your rearview mirror. Right?
Dude, can you send me that? I need to look at that quote straight up like all the time.
So it's a simple analogy, but once you piece it together, it really makes sense. It's like, you're not going to be able to succeed if you keep living in the past, keep focusing on your mistakes. And that's one thing that we try and teach them here, is just like, hey, you got to move on.
And like, I think, you know, one of the most difficult things, dude, I was using this example, I think, earlier on, when I had the, you know, I think it was Samantha and Marissa and Amanda on and everything like that. We're talking about the Matt Turner, the vitriol I'm seeing on social media about, you know, the action that happened yesterday for Nottingham Forest against Spurs. And the thing is like, as goalkeepers, I mean, it's a little bit more prevalent for you dealing with college goalkeepers, because like, they're more in the public eye, like the local paper, like the student body, the other team's fans, all that sort of stuff. How do you help them push that all aside and recognize that like, it's only going to affect them negatively if they even look at it?
So one of the big things that I try to push on my keepers, or even any younger keeper that's been playing for a series of time, I'll ask them, be like, listen, tell me how long that you've played. And if you tell me how many years, months, so forth, tell me or look back to how you were in the beginning. You've been playing, you've had hundreds, if not maybe even 1,000 practices. You've done this every day. You see it as a hobby. You get fun out of it. Take it as another training. Take it as another fun practice with your friends. I mean, don't try to stress too much on yourself. I know that we might have made a mistake, but it's another day at the office.
I mean,
you're not going to have perfect days every single day. You might have a few good days in a row and then have one bad one and then be like, man, what's happening to me? But it's just part of the process.
And Trev, I would say like from a mental health standpoint, like that's the most difficult when you're a number two or a number three, because you're like, every rep you feels like an audition, right?
Yeah. Like most of the practice for me was like, I had to treat it like a game. I had to treat everything like a game so I could show the coaches that I was ready for that spot, like ready to get in there. But going back to like the you, Jeff said, practicing every day, like I know I went through that when I was doing club soccer. Like me coming up, I started out playing center back and then switched to goalkeeper. I've been playing goalkeeper since I was 10. I've been doing keeper practice since I was 10. I got to the point where I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. But, you know, I kept on going. I just kept on going to practice, trying to tough it out. And eventually it got better. Everything started working out for me. So met Amanda. Everything started working out for me, so it was good.
Yeah, Evan, I want to ask you, because obviously, you know, you have a lot of experience with the younger ones here. Like, how do you keep it fun for them but still make them want more from their journey?
I would just say, like, bring a lot of energy to the trainings, because, like, if you're just, like, sitting there and just being like, all right, time to go through the drill, they're just going to go through the drill and not get anything back. But if you're, like, really excited to coach them, which I am, like, whenever I go to coach them, I'm like, ah, I can't wait for them to get better. And, like, once they make the big save and you, like, start, like, yelling, be like, let's go, like, I can't believe you made the save. Like, because I just remember, like, when I was, like, a young player and, like, when my coach would, like, say that, I'd just be like, oh, I can't wait to get to that moment again. Like, that moment, or, like, even, like, the big save in the game, like, nothing will compare to that moment when everyone, like, starts, like, clapping and, like, everyone comes to you, like, after a game. Like, that save, like, saved the game. Like, I can't believe you made that. That's crazy. That's, yeah, like, the same thing I, like, try to, like, make in practice. Like you're allowed to, like, be goofy and, like, have fun. Like, the point of training isn't to, like, be serious the entire time.
I love what you just said right there. And honestly, like, it's, like, every coach is going to have a different profile. And, like, I know, Ryan, like, when players come to my environment, and they came from a coach that's, like, more, like, serious or, you know, reserved or whatever, they don't know how to react around me. Like, I mean, like, even, like, yesterday with, like, with the introductions, and, like, I said something self-deprecating, and kids were just, like, looking at me, and, like, I'm like, you know, that was, like, sarcasm, right? That was, like, a joke. But because they're unfamiliar with me, they don't know how to be comfortable with that, because, like, they're not used to that. So how do we take a player who's from a different environment than your environment and make them feel at home and make them work in your environment?
Yeah. One big thing, like Evan said earlier, is the energy, like, especially with the younger players. But I've seen it with older players as well. Bringing energy, being yourself around them, like, lets you know that, oh, okay, I can be comfortable here. I can be myself too. It's like, I don't have to hide parts of myself. I know it's okay just to act organically. And that's when really it's that you get that snowball kind of rolling. That's where you see the biggest effect and the best, yeah, best outcome.
Yeah. I think that's such a great point right there, you know, and, like, every goalkeeper's different, man. Like, I mean, you know, Jeff, you know, this, like, coaching in the college environment, like, you've got three goalkeepers and one dude might be, like, the kind of guy that's going to wear, like, leopard skin pants and do cartwheels, like, you know, at warmups. And then you got the other one who, like, you know, like, shows up in his socks is, like, right up here, and everything's, like, tucked in proper. And that's just how they are. They're, like, very meticulous. And then you got another goalkeeper who's just, like, you know, like, a kind of a in between the two of them, you know, and, like, you got to find a way to make that session work for all of them, you know, so that, like, they can all get something out of it, which is very difficult at the collegiate, yes, level.
It's definitely an adjustment period, what I had to learn. With my youth growing up and the way that I was taught, I was very, my training sessions were very cutthroat. I wouldn't want to say military-esque, but it was, this is a business, this is work, we're going to attack it, and you're going to do it this way.
And you're like, I'm seven. So
yeah, I was definitely young, and I was like, but I liked it. Looking back on it, I'm very happy with the way that I was growing up and how I was trained. And then with the way that Amanda taught me in college, I was like, all right, this is different. How can I adjust to be more of an open person to everybody? And that kind of goes down to the roles of the 1, 2, and 3. The freshman might come in and be like, all right, like, I'm expecting to get this time, or I have this ego or attitude or idea of themselves, but they take a step back once it comes to, oh, like, I'm not seen this way anymore. And that's, yeah, what I had to do as well.
Yeah.
So finding that open arm, or, hey, we all have a job to do, but we're all here for each other. It's not going to be, I'm only going to focus on myself getting to the number one, but while you're there, how can you help me and I help you to be the best that we can?
You know, one thing I love about this podcast right here is that we've had three different age groups of leaders that have come through this academy. We had the youngest leadership group here. We had, like, our middle, like, older high school group. And then we have you guys, you know, either in college or post-college, you know, beginning your coaching career. And it's just amazing to see the progression, because it's almost like you're seeing the journey, you know, you guys watching at home, you're seeing the journey of how everything kind of comes together. And now there's another step after you guys, which is like the Amanda level, you know, like once you've been doing it for a long time sort of thing. So like, you know, like Ryan, obviously, you know, you're involved a lot in coaching. Like, how do you use mentors like an Amanda, you know, or older coaches who've been doing it longer to help you become a better leader?
A lot of it's just watch and learn for me. Okay. And it was also going back to my days as a goalkeeper in this academy, focusing on what made me feel good, what maybe I didn't like, kind of taking aspects of that and applying it to my coaching game, for example, because at least professionally, I'm aiming to become a physical therapist, right? And so it's still...
Great, dude, because my lower back... I'm not... Okay.
See me in 4 years and I'll talk to you.
Yeah. Favorite, that was like earlier, there was like a 17-year-old girl she was talking about. She's like, oh, you know, when you start getting these ailments, that, you know, as an older goalkeeper, I'm like, dude, you're already talking that way. You sound like you're 45. Okay. Continue.
But it's more about like taking things, watching and learning, and then just being not afraid to ask. It's like, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. It's like, it's the same thing on the field.
Yeah.
You got to be able to make mistakes coaching. You're not going to get better if you don't. You know, realize you're going to say things that don't work for some people. You're going to do things that don't work for some people. And you just got to figure out how you want to work around that, how you can read people better, and just kind of how you can improve.
Yeah. Evan, what do you, just kind of as we start wrapping this up here, guys, I appreciate you guys taking all this time. I know we've literally been going for 30 hours straight. So my goal is that we have to go over an hour every podcast, or it's not a real podcast. So I'm just looking at the clock right here. We could literally just sit here like this. Working with the younger ones, how do you like work and make it work for, because you're always going to have that awesome like baller at like 8 who like gets it all. And how do you make it still challenging for them yet not like over complicated for the other goalkeepers? Do you just need to move them up? Is that just what it is? It's like, hey, you need to go to a higher environment?
Not all the time.
Okay.
And some scenarios like, yeah, you gotta move them up like if their mouth's better, but like other times it's like more of a challenge for like them to be a leader. Like sometimes you can't move them up if they're just like the quiet kid that's like not gonna do anything. If they're not gonna add anything to these higher age groups, they're gonna like take away more energy than like it's like willing to like give to other people. So like once their ability to lead is like at a certain level, it's like easier to move them up, because like at the higher levels, like people are gonna be talking, and like if you're not talking, you're going to be taking away from the energy that a lot of everyone else is giving. So I think that's what.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I sometimes like, if you take away that player, you're putting them in an environment where now they're going to be the lowest rung. So they never got that experience of being the leader, kind of showing the others how it's done, whether it's actually doing it or verbalizing it. Now, so that's such a really good point. As we finish this all up right here, guys, I just want everybody to kind of just give a few bullet points to young coaches out there who are beginning their journey. You know, maybe some things that resonated with you or some advice you would give yourself when you first started your journey. Jeff, starting with you.
My first one would be patient. It's no different than the journey of being a player, the same way as being a coach. The next one is, you might be a great player, but that won't mean you'll be a great coach. So enjoy that new process. My last point I would say is enjoy being uncomfortable. Try to get uncomfortable, or try to get comfortable being uncomfortable. With Evan, he's great with kids. You're great with the younger age groups of coaching them and bringing more joy or getting them high energy. That's something my biggest struggle, and it's something that I'm working on. I haven't had young kids around me in my life, or haven't coached younger age groups. So to me, it's a whole new audience, and it's something.
The beard says you have an 18-year-old at home.
No, I'm 22. I hope not. But it's a new audience. So I'm uncomfortable with it, but I'm enjoying the process of trying to get better.
Okay, Jeff.
I think my biggest thing when I first started coaching was try and find what you sort of like doing, and stick to it. Make it better, and then keep pushing yourself to find and break those new boundaries. Just as Jeff said, push yourself, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And once you do that, you'll become a whole lot better than you would ever think you would be. So
nice. Ryan?
For me, the big one is understand the why behind what you're doing. Like, know the drill inside and out and know what this does in a game, how you're going to be able to apply this to a game, and be able to explain that to a goalkeeper. Help them not play the drill, play it like a game. That's the best thing that I could say, is make sure they're not just going through the motions in a practice. They're actually applying this to how they would act in a real game.
Man, I know some people who are so good at practice. Like, they're so good at playing practice, like, because they never learned how to play the game. They just know how to play practice. So, like, college ID camps, doing awesome in the drills. They go in the games, like, no positional awareness, no understanding where to distribute the ball, no possession to out of possession, any of that sort of stuff. So I think it's any young coaches out there listening, like, you got to listen to what Ryan's saying right there. It's like, if you can't teach them the game, you're doing them a disservice when they get to that next level. Ev, we'll wrap with you. Energy, right?
Okay. Basically, like, the main point, like, bullet point I'd like give, like, a new coach that's, like, never coached before is have fun. If you're not going to have fun, then the kid's going to have such a terrible time and they're not going to learn anything. So I would just say, like, if you coach and don't enjoy it, or, like, if you have a session coming up and you're not, like, hoping to, like, go to it, then there's, like, no point in going to it or, like, even training. So it's just, like, down to the person. So if you, like, coach a couple times and you don't enjoy it, please don't do it, because, like, you're just, like, ruining the kids' experience, like, when you're coaching.
Yeah. If you hate coaching, don't do it, guys. Yeah. Don't
do it if you hate it, okay?
By the way, there's no reason to do this if you don't like it. Like, honestly, it's not worth it. Not worth doing it. If you don't – oh, what did I just do? Dude, look at that. I literally jinxed everything by saying that somebody was, like, really not happy with what I just said right there. So, like, they kicked that off, that guy. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up right now. Obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it's contact@insidethe18media.com. If you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union Goalkeeper app. Doing a lot of different mentoring things on the Union Goalkeeper app. So I really want you guys to check all that stuff out. Check out the parents group out there. People like these people right here, these are the type of people that we want to get into these types of programs. So maybe we'll talk about how you guys can get incorporated and stuff like that. But I loved a lot of what you guys are saying, and not just because you're sitting right next to me, but because I actually liked what you guys had to say. All right, guys, that's all the time on Inside the 18. I'm going to rest my voice. We're out. Later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.